This episode is brought to you by Intuit QuickBooks Bill Pay. Growth is the goal, but the paperwork is a trap. If your accounts payable feels like a second job, you're doing it wrong. Enter QuickBooks Bill Pay. Reduce manual data entry, automate your approvals, and track 1099s in one place. No more chasing signatures. No more spreadsheet headaches. Just control over your cash flow and a back office that actually scales. Automate your accounts payable today at QuickBooks.com/BillPay. Terms apply. Money movement services are provided by Intuit Payments, Inc., licensed as a money transmitter by the New York State Department of Financial Services.
Well, hello there. Welcome to the sound of one man clapping. I am the one man coming to you direct from the bunker, back from 10 days in tropical paradise where games were few and far between. As much as I love a holiday with my girls, being back in the bunker is what keeps me sane. And after 10 days in the tropics, which is such a beautiful place to be, I am back in my happy place, my windowless chamber of delights without natural light, fresh air, or exposure to all the shit of the world at large. On with the show. Well, I hope you were able to cope over the last couple of weeks. I had some pre-recorded ear porn. Thank you to Super Trooper for joining me for Token Aspirations. And the Higvodge, the half-yearly Good Vibes Only Jamboree, always fills my cup. Looking forward to what's coming in. Well, as I've said before, I've learned to love the anticipation. Although I will say I'm starting to get a little despondent with my dear deceased from CMON. The latest update from CMON said that for deceased, they were going to start the molding preparations, whereas in July last year, as far as the updates were listing, mass production was complete. So what the fuck? I don't know. I'm trying not to be sad and negative. I'm trying not to fall into a well of despair. I'm usually the eternal optimist, but we'll see. As to the games that were, there weren't many. As I was in Fiji with my beautiful girls for 10, 11 nights. I spent six scuba dives while I was there, and there's just so much to not do in Fiji. I want to say not do, you know, just sitting around is taking all your energy. They do this wonderful thing at the resort we go to where they give you this little pager, and when you are feeling hungry, thirsty, you hit a button and they come over and they go, "Bula, how can we help you?" And you order a pina colada, or you order some lovely little local curry chicken skewers, or man, the food was so good and the service was amazing. They know how to do service over there. They do us to shame. But I did get a couple of games. I packed a couple of small games. Every time we go to Fiji, I take a bunch of small games and we almost never play any of them. But there's one that I had bought and I hadn't played yet, and I love the look of, and I played a number of games of Kinfire Delve. Now, this was Vainglory's Grotto, which is one of the three Kinfire Delve games, and I absolutely freaking loved it. I loved, loved, loved it. I thought it was an absolutely fantastic puzzle. I thought it was interesting. I played a number of games. So in Kinfire Delve, it's basically a deck milling game, you know, much... don't really have anything to compare it to. I haven't had enough coffee. It's Sunday morning, and you know, it's reality time. So Kinfire Delve, you have a deck of cards known as the Well, and in the Well are a number of challenges. There are combat challenges and puzzle challenges and whatnot, and they all amount to ostensibly the same thing, where you are using cards in your hand to reach a certain threshold to finish the challenge and move it into your completed space. Failing to finish the challenge that comes out, there are four challenges sitting around the bad guy. And failing to finish the challenge in any way, as in completing it entirely in your turn, will usually result in some sort of consequence. And that could be rolling down your hit die counter. It could force you to discard cards. There's a number of things that could happen. And I think Kinfire Delve is a 1-2 player game. Let's make no mistake, guys. This is a 1-player game. It is really fabulous. You've got hand management. And there's no natural draw. You've got to work out how to get more cards into your hand, either through sometimes their rewards for finishing challenges, or certain cards when you play them will allow you to dig in and get some cards back. You have something called a lantern that each of your champions, so each box of Kinfire Delve comes with two different champions in them, and they play really differently. Like, it's really fantastic. and you have a lantern, which is basically a really powerful card that starts face down. And if you can light the lantern, it charges it and you flip it face up. And it's a single use. When I say single use, it flips face down again. They're very hard to relight and use. But when you do manage to use them, they are uber powerful. And so if you manage to mill through the whole deck, the whole well, there are four cards that come out and they surround the big bad guy. And the bad guy, the boss at the end of the game, you can't touch him. He's impervious to your attacks. There are three colored attacks and a colorless attack, and your cards are all colored. And until you deal with these four uber challenges that are around him, you know, dealing with one might make him vulnerable to blue cards, for example. So you deal with that, you flip it over, and it says you can now attack Vainglory with blue cards, as an example. It is a super fun puzzle. It's about 35 minutes. It's 5 minutes to set up. And I thoroughly enjoyed Kinfire Delve. I'll be looking to pick up the other two boxes. There are three boxes of Kinfire Delve. I managed to get my hands on while I was away. I thought, oh, this is fantastic. I ordered a playmat, so that's here. And not that it needs it. It's just, you know, it's one of those nice-to-haves. There aren't a lot of glamour bits for Kinfire Delve. There's an upgrade kit you can get that has special dice, because every time you do a challenge, you roll dice, and they can do, you know, they either value add to it or they fuck you over just a tiny bit. And you not badly. You can get nicer dice and a nicer life counter, but it's like $55 for, I don't know, five dice, and then what does it give you? Six lantern cards that are foiled. I'm like, yeah, no, thank you. I don't need that. I'll spend $30 on a playmat, though. And wonderful. So I'm looking forward to more Kinfire Delve. Kinfire Delve is out of stock in Australia in the other two boxes, but I'll be just keeping an eye on restocks. They're not out of print, they're just out of stock. I could get it from overseas for about $75 if I want to. But locally, they're only about $36. So I'll wait till it comes in stock. I'm not hungry for things to play. And to be honest, other than a little bit of stuff on the iOS, as in on my iPhone or iPad while I was away, I spent most of my time poolside snorkeling. We did a few boat cruises, and I did a lot of dives. I spent a lot of time at the bottom of the ocean, and man, is that ever good for the soul? I saw some amazing things. Fiji is world-class diving, so... Yeah, so that's the games that really weren't many, but it's a return to form this week. Last week it was back to work, back to reality. Lucky, I love my job. Last Monday was a public holiday, so it was a statutory holiday for those of you overseas. It was Australia Day, and as such, my return to work was only a four-day week, which was a great way to come back. But this week's 5 days, working for a living. But back to work. Back to return to form. I got plenty of games in the calendar for this week, and it's a very exciting time. Boxes on the doorstep, new delights inside. Heaven's on fire, fields to divide. As for incoming, 4 exclamation marks. You know, when you leave the bunker, when you leave Shea Hamas for what amounts to 11 or 12 days, Postman Pete ends up piling a bunch of stuff. And lucky for me, Lou was staying here. Lou has a full-time job. She's a young adult. Didn't really have the bandwidth, free time, or money, because as a young adult in our house, guess what, Mom and Dad don't pay for your fucking flights anymore, kid. Oh, adulting sucks, 1 star. So Lou was here the whole time, house-sitting, looking after our one remaining cat, and dealing with the packages from Postman Pete, which she lovingly piled up on the bed in the master bedroom. So I came home to a massive stack of boxes, which I was very excited to see. So from the top, Phoenix New Horizon is finally delivered. Thank you, Dean from Advent Games, a legend of service and pricing and just an absolute gentleman. Phoenix New Horizon finally came. I had pre-ordered that a very long time ago when it was first released at Essen. And Dean went, yeah, well, we're going to pre-order that. I'm like, oh, that must be coming soon. Guess what? It was like 14 months or some shit. I don't know. Maybe not 14 months. It was a long time. And that's largely because Paraloco, who was the original publisher, I believe only published it in, it was either Spanish or Portuguese. So Devere picked up the reprint rights and had to go through a full reprint. So my copy is, of course, by Devere. It's here. It's punched. I am very much looking forward to playing Phoenix New Horizon sometime on the New Horizon. Oh, and my baby, finally, Compile Main and Auxiliary 2 arrived. Same amazing production, considering that the publishing company that was looking after Compile was folded by their parent company, Greater Than Games, who also makes Spirit Island. Oof, watch this space for Spirit Island to be picked up somewhere. The production is exactly the same. The quality on those cards is exactly the same. stunning foil on every single card. Those lovely metallic circuit highlights are amazing. And so now I have Compile and Compile 2 with both the auxiliaries. And I had a quick flick through, not to spoil them, but just a little taster on some of the new cards for Compile 2. And they are really different to Compile 1. So very much looking forward to getting that to the table with Super Trooper. He and I are big fans of Compile. And it's a lovely little filler that we'll either throw down in between games or, you know, maybe if I'm picking up the peanut from his place or he's picking Beelzebubbles up from ours, we just look at each other and raise an eyebrow and go, quick game Compile? Quick game Compile? And it's pretty easy to slip in there. It's, you know, 15, 20 minutes of back and forth, and we love it. So very excited to see that arrive. I bit the bullet while I was away. I actually ordered these while I was poolside in Fiji. I thought, oh, fuck it. You know, it's just, ugh. Actually, it was, I think, I wasn't in Fiji. I was editing Token Aspirations, which is the episode where Super Trooper and I outline all the games we want to play for 2026 that are on our must-play list. And Super Trooper flagged he wanted to play the South Tigris trilogy with the expansions. And I had to break the news to him. Like, I don't own the expansions. And he just looked at me over the table and he went, well, you got some work to do, motherfucker. So I was editing that episode. I thought, okay, fuck it. Because Garfield Games is in New Zealand. For those of you that don't know, the Legends of Garfield Games, they are based in New Zealand, which is just over the water from us. And, you know, the Australia to New Zealand dollar is quite good. And they had a special on where if you spent over a certain amount, you got free shipping. And free shipping on games is always wonderful, particularly when it's international. So I ordered all the expansions for the South Tigris trilogy. So that's Tides of Trade for Wanderers, Body of Books for Scholars, Air of Experts for Inventors, which, oh man, small side note, I haven't yet played. And I do really, really like the South Tigris trilogy. And I've also ordered the Moon Saga campaign, which allows you to play all three in succession, maybe not in the same day, maybe in the same day. And there's some carry-through mechanics from one to the next. So that's arrived. I finally received some quality of life enhancements for Deep Rock Galactic. I'd ordered the acrylic upgrades and this gorgeous playmat for it. For those of you that have been following along at home, you know I picked up a full, almost full pledge of Deep Rock Galactic on the secondary market for a guy who'd bought it all, opened it, never played it. It was $500 and some odd worth of stuff that he was selling. I picked up for $180. So I thought, well, board gamer math. Think of all I saved on all of those products. Think of everything I saved. I saved so much money. Oof. Better get the playmat and the acrylic upgrades. So they arrived, which is fantastic. And the upgrade pack for Tricarion, which I adore. Fucking adore Tricarion. Tricarion is this masterwork of grim, dark, battling illusionists in, I want to say, late 1800s. It's got this very much the prestige feel, and it's very back and forth. And it's a Euro. Don't get me wrong. It's a resource management Euro. But I love the theming. I love the art. I love the gameplay. And they've recently released the Collector's Edition or the Anniversary Edition. I own the Collector's Edition. They released the Anniversary Edition, which is a new expansion and some new upgraded goodies. And the wonderful bit is that it all fits. There's a little tray that comes with it. It will all fit in my existing Tricarion Collector's Edition box. I'm suspecting there might be a little lid lift in there, but I don't even care. It's all in one box. Happy days. Playmats. I ordered playmats for Earthborn Rangers. The Peanut and the Fox and I have started Earthborn Rangers, and they both, not so much struggle, but just trying to keep their whole play area sorted as to what's what was a little bit fuzzy. And so I've ordered some playmats, individual player mats, and then the central playmat. I didn't realize how freaking huge they were going to be. But massive, massive shout out to Roland Mats. That's RollinMats.com. These are gorgeous. They come in a very heavy-duty tube for storage, which I love. They're stitch-edged, and they are exceptional quality. Really exceptional quality. So I've got playmats for that. They've arrived. And, of course, my Kingfire Delve. Kinfire, not Kingfire. There's no Kingfire. Kinfire Delve playmat arrived. So lots has arrived, which is really nice. So I came home and I'm still sorting the bunker out a bit, getting it back up to spec, because this week we got Thursday night gaming, we got a whole day night on Saturday, and I'm hoping to get Earthborn Rangers back to the table on this fine, fine day with the Peanut and the Fox this Sunday, just to try and get them over the line. I think these playmats are going to help immensely, and they are. So, if you're looking for mats, I don't know what his full range is. Roland Mats, I found him on Etsy. I found him on Etsy, and then I found his website, and because of the charges and commissions you pay to Etsy, spoiler alert, it's cheaper to get it direct from his website, Roland Mats, RollinMats.com. and as I said, very high quality. They came reasonably quickly. They're all made to order. It's a print-on-demand service, I'm sure. And so it was about 2 weeks for them to come. And they are really, really sexy. That's it for incoming. I don't think I even have anything else expected next week. Oh, I do have... I have a delivery coming. It's not a game. It's a game accessory. I've ordered a deck box, a double deck box, basically a double commander box to store all of Compile, much to Super Trooper's disappointment, because those little Compile boxes are quite sexy. But meh, you know, I put extra boxes up on the wall for decoration, and those little boxes will fit into nice little corners in the new bunker, because that'll be a new bunker next year. So that's coming. I don't have anything else on the way. Nothing else is shipping. It's that time leading into Chinese New Year, where everything's about to grind to a halt for a month. So, you know, watch this space, because we're probably going to end up with 15 different campaigns jumping all over us in the next 3 weeks. That's it for incoming, people. Welcome to FOMO Mofo, OMC Crew, where I take you through my personal angst-ridden journey of capitalist acquisitionism. As always, this is not an exhaustive list of crowdfunding projects, but merely those that have my personal attention, either because they are by design and development team I like, theme I enjoy, or because they're pretty toys. And in my hot-blooded, perfect world, it's all three. Well, the lull blessedly continues with a ton of campaigns announced. There's not a lot live, thankfully. There have been quite a few sort of the smaller campaigns. Mountain Goats Legacy by All Play is done and dusted. It came and went. I didn't even know Mountain Goats was a game, but apparently it's a game. Apparently it's loads of fun. Kanitzi is getting a reprint with Bitewing of Gold Country, and it's being paired with a game called Totally Human by Casper Lapp. I do like Casper Lapp's games. We have a number of Kanitzi files in our local game group. I'm not sure anyone's picking up Gold Country because we're all still getting skin grafts on our backside from the October, November, December absolute pummeling we took from, you know, the world that was crowdfunding in the last quarter of last year. But maybe somebody's backed it, and I don't know. It looks interesting. Gold Country looks interesting. I'll play most of Kanitzia's work. I have stuff of his that I like. I have stuff of his that I'm ambivalent on. I don't have anything of his that I really dislike. So look, maybe, hopefully, it'd be nice. You know who you are. You know who you are. Anyway, I think those might still be live as of this morning, but they'll be closing soon. And there were a couple of alleged, and I use alleged in air quotes, juggernauts, as in larger media campaigns, which is kind of where my love and the thrust of my wallet tends to go. Isn't that a nice image? The thrust of my wallet tends to go. There's two I want to talk about. First is Sheol 2.0. Now, I didn't know anything about the original. This just popped up on my feed as a, hey, this is coming. The art looked really nice. I'm really in that horror, grimdark phase right now where I'm loving things like Below the Asylum and Dawn of Madness. I'm very excited for those things to come. It's going to, you know, Dawn of Madness is coming sometime this year. And because I can sit in my little love chamber down here and play those by myself, Sheol popped up. I'm like, oh, that's got a really nice sort of feel. I didn't know anything about the original. I just... I've looked at it, not in huge detail, but it looks like a fairly standard sort of campaign/dungeon crawler. It's getting a bit of action around the usual suspects. And if you're a Sheol fan, my understanding this is not a sequel, but rather a re-release, hence the name. It's Sheol 2.0. Just the gameplay all-in is $500 Australian, and the all-in, not that you have to go all-in, but you know how I feel about this, right? Like, it's not that I'm a, you know... It's not that I have to meaningfully own everything, but if there's something out there that's shiny, who was that cockatoo who loved shiny shit? No, he's a crab who loved shiny shit. Love that. Shiny. If there's shiny stuff, I want the shiny stuff, right? Like, and largely, I've talked about this before, being very heavy into solo gaming, that tactile aspect, that nature, falling down the rabbit hole, and anything that provides more immersion for me, I adore, and is worth the money. Right, I'm in a room, the door's locked, I might have some music playing, I've got a drink beside me, whether that's a soft drink or a glass of wine or something a little heavier than that. I like the shiny stuff. The all-in on Sheol 2.0 is $735. Like, fuck me, holy sweet Jesus, that is a lot of money. This is a small indie group. I mean, you could do a lot worse with your money. You know, if you're an all-in kind of girl like me, this is going to sting. Shipping's another $90 to Australia. As a factor, the all-in price is only 13%, so I guess it's kind of okay. $90 shipping, that's a lot. That's a lot of shipping, but this is the kind of title that's not going to go to retail. You might find some secondary market stuff, or you might have a friendly local game store that's picked up some Kickstarters. You'll be paying a whole lot more than that for them. Lunar Oak Studios, they have a few small titles to the name. And for me, I always like seeing a game that had a bit of a following. If you look at Sheol on BoardGameGeek, it had a following. It had good ratings. There are people that really liked it. I like seeing a game that had a decent following or a decent review get a bit of polish. There's an upgrade pledge for those of you who are in Sheol 1.0, which is great, and it looks like a really fair deal. There's only 34 pledges for it. That's going to be rough. Anytime you have a SKU, sorry, a stock keeping unit, SKU, you're creating something unique. You have to manufacture, you have to handle, you have to ship, and making only 34 copies of something, including what appears to be like a unique box and packing solution, it's really rough from an economies of scale point of view. You know, telling your manufacturer, make me 35 of these. It's like, sure. It's almost going to cost you more than you're selling it for. Probably not. I mean, these guys have done the math, but making 34 of something, that said, I really respect it. You know, there's 34 people out there that own Sheol, that want Sheol 2.0, and Lunar Oak Studios has made it possible for them to not have to get everything new, which is wonderful. Hats off to them. I haven't spent nearly enough time with this campaign on the gameplay and whatnot, so I can't help you there, largely because as soon as I saw the price, my initial interest, it really just evaporated. And I thought, well, I was interested, so I'll talk about it here. It does look really nice. Like, the art looks nice. It's got a really dark sort of feel. Look, if Sheol's your thing, or you don't already have a $700 massive campaign of shiny stuff coming in, maybe it's for you. Stretch pay. Stretch pay is a beautiful thing. Right. And the other one I was watching is called Boktor. Now, I'm Gen X, so when I see Boktor, I cannot get Trogdor the Burninator out of my head. And if you don't know who Trogdor the Burninator is, you need to go spend 7 minutes on YouTube. I'm not saying it will be a good 7 minutes, but for somebody who grew up in Gen X, Trogdor the Burninator is a thing. And when I see Boktor the game, all I see is that consummate V's and the little S dragon with the muscly arms. It's not that. Boktor, look, it's a one-shot, 60-minute co-op dungeon crawler that apparently you can learn in 5 minutes. And it had some exposure around some of the usual suspects. And I say usual suspects. I think One-Stop Co-op Stop covered it. I think there was a bit. I think Alex Radcliffe covered it on his channel. And so I thought, well, I'll have a look. And I've had a look. And look, it looks fine. It's got these like huge Everdell, when I say huge, I looked it up, they're only 13 centimeters tall, but these Everdell kind of tree structures that you've got to assemble, and your little meeps jump on and off them for battle. It creates a sense of heightened depth to the game. But all these things that you have to build out a punch board, they just give me the screaming irrits, because they never look good after half a dozen sessions. You know, even my little generators for Nucleum, which are only 3 centimeters tall, you know, they're constantly coming apart. You've got to constantly put them back together, and they're fraying at the edges. And these things never look good after a while. I will say it's nice to see silkscreen meeples instead of minis for once. You know, this is all silkscreen meeples, all of the bad guys, all of the monsters, everything. It's all silkscreen wooden meeples. It's nice to see. I mean, I love minis. I think having a high-quality silkscreen meeple, you know, it's very Eagle Griffin vibes in that regard. It gives it very much a Tiny Epic Dungeons vibe, in a good way. I think Tiny Epic Dungeons, the rulebook is a hate crime, but the game's really fun. And if you want a little dungeon crawler, to be honest, Tiny Epic Dungeons is great fun. It's great fun with an emergent dungeon and having to keep your torch lit, and there's some push-pulls on there and getting to the bad guy at the end, and you've got all these lovely little silkscreen meeples. So it's giving those vibes in a good way. But the all-in deluxe for Boktor is $315 Australian. Now, and this looks like a first-time publisher, which I absolutely respect. And I want to support the little guy. You guys know how I feel about supporting the little guy. I think it's really important to support the little guy. You can get the base box for $80. And so there's options for everyone. But I'm struggling to see what you're actually getting for $300 here, given there's no minis, there's no, and I get the cost of production is going up every year, but $315 for silkscreen wooden meeples and a bunch of cards and some tiles that aren't even tiles. I think the map is actually cardstock. I'm not sure what's there. You know, shipping's another $90 almost. We're talking Australian, obviously, speaking Australian dollars, which is nearly 30%. You know, that's, or it's more, 30% on 315 is that's more than 30%. My math sucks. I wish them well. My main concern here is that if I can learn the game in 5 minutes, is there $400 worth of value in the game? Is it going to be interesting enough to play multiple times? $400 buys really interesting games. You know, you can buy Agamonia in retail for $235 Australian, and it is a really interesting game that sucks you in over and over and over, and God damn it, I'm going to get Agamonia back to the table. I'm not sure that there's $400 worth of game there for me, particularly when I have Tiny Epic Dungeons, everything. I had the all-in Kickstarter with the playmat, and there's a little carry bag for everything, and the potions, and it's a great game that I don't get to play often enough, but I think the Peanut's getting to an age where Tiny Epic Dungeons is going to be right up her valley. Alley. Nothing's going up Peanut's valley, let me fucking tell you that right now. Foxtrot Games looks like a first-time publisher. It's a tough time of year. It's a tough time globally to be entering the board game race, and I hope they have a good experience for what it's worth. You know, I think BookTour is fine. I think it's woefully expensive for what it is. But, you know, maybe it's going to be, you know, top 10 game next year. Those are the only two campaigns that are live that I was following. I do want to give a shout out to Viva La Dirt League. If you don't follow Viva La Dirt League on social media, these are a bunch of wild Kiwis. They are so funny, and they do video shorts based around, they kind of had two categories of videos. One's based around RPG gaming, and one's based around, you know, experiences in retail, probably in largely in like electronics and technology. But their shorts around RPG gaming are very funny, and they often highlight ridiculous NPC interactions. They have a card game coming to Kickstarter called NPC Rivals. I have no idea if it's going to be any good, but I maybe just back it because their content's fantastic. I don't think it's going to be very expensive from the looks of it, and if it's being shipped out of New Zealand, it's not going to be that expensive for Australians. Viva La Dirt League, they make great content that I very much enjoy consuming, and if their NPC Rivals card game has got anything in it, I will likely be looking at that very closely. And at the opposite of the spectrum, Awakened Realms has another monstrosity in the works, if you're not aware. A remake of the 40-year-old game Labyrinth Chronicles is coming. It's going to be another overproduced behemoth, more plastic than Kim Kardashian, and it looks like exactly the kind of thing the Peanut would devour. I'm looking forward to learning more about how many kidneys I'm going to have to sell for this one. And I think the table presence alone, you know, just looks fantastic. You've got this moving labyrinth. I just hope there's an up game there. You know, the original Labyrinth, it's a very, very light game. It's aimed at, you know, sort of 8 and up. It looks like they've enhanced that a little bit. There's a little bit of a campaign mode that carries from game to game. So we'll see. I'm looking very closely at it. As I said, it's got a great table presence. It looks very nice. And there it is. That's it. That's all I'm really looking at right now for FOMO Mofo Papes. And I'm very happy that that's all I'm looking at right now, because 2026 is going to be a big year. I'm already starting to sort of slot money away for PAX in October. We've got PlayCon coming up in July, which, although it's already paid for, you know, the parking for PlayCon this year is about $55 a day. So, you know, this is just, it's a blessed relief to allow my board game account to recharge just a little bit. I'm going to take a little break for some meaningless ads that hopefully at the end of the year will all add up with just enough cash to cover off the hosting. So stand by. I'll be back. Well, OMC peeps, I know it was a quick run through today. There's not a lot of games that we play. There's not a lot going on. It's a very quiet time of the year for games. It is not a quiet time of year in the world. If you're listening to this sometime way in the future, this is the end of January 2026, which I assume is going to be in the history books at some point. And I want to talk about, you know, I've called this episode Raising Weapons. Raising Weapons, you know, and the Fox and I, when we have chats, you know, really behind closed doors with ourselves, we're raising three girls, and we, you know, she and I tend to refer to that as we are raising weapons. We're raising weapons to release out in the world, because the world is a cancerous shit show on a good day, right? And it's our job to empower these girls with resilience, with capability, and with the ferocity to deal with what's coming. We all have opinions, all of us. And whether or not we're aware, we share those opinions with our world constantly. having three girls, I'm going to tell you, it makes me hyper-vigilant on what I'm putting out there in certain realms. It's hard enough on them without their dad accidentally saying something flippant, something that in the moment seems trivial and small, but could potentially resonate with them for weeks, you know? And as an example, with young girls, it's food. You'd be very careful about how you talk about food with teenage girls. You know, it's a very hard place out there. Our girls don't have social media till they're 16. That's been the house rule. So the new rules in Australia banning it, but it's irrelevant to us because we've never allowed social media in our house till that anyway. But I mean, our 10-year-old, the Peanut, she already comes from home being fat shamed at school, and it's not by the boys, it's by the other girls. And let me be clear, the Peanut is not a fat little girl. She's gorgeous and fit, and she can run, and she can ride her bike for 3 hours. She can bushwalk, and she's in all kinds of wonderful shape. And so the Fox and I, my amazing wife and I, we are very deliberate in our language. There's a lot going on in the world right now, and we have OMC listeners all over the world. And while I might seem flippant from time to time, you know, I tend to go off on tangents and I get a little sweary and I make some jokes that maybe are a little bit tangentially off color. I want you to know I am deliberate in my language, and there are moments in post when I'm editing and on reflection I think, whoa, that's not the right thing, or fuck me, that was a seriously unhealthy thing to make light of. There's a lot of stuff that hits the cutting room floor in post. Not a lot, that sounds like I'm really quite thoughtless, but certainly every two or three episodes or so in post I find something, I go, you know what, that's not the message I want to put out there, that's not how I want to identify, that's not who I want to be. And so I've thought a lot about whether or not to go down this road with you, dear listeners, but I feel I owe it to you. As a good Canadian, you know, in Canadians, we have a very specific slant in that we don't like words like acceptance or tolerance, because that indicates that there's something we need to tolerate, right? We have a very different view. And as a good Canadian, I've decided that while my reach might not be fabulously huge, it's big enough. And there's a lot going on in the world. And I'm not going to rehash it so much, but suffice to say, there are a lot of opinions out in the ether. I'm not here to name names, but I do want to talk about a couple of specific examples. There's some content creators, most notably one with the Dice Tower crew, that's gone on record with a very divisive opinion. And I'm not singling this out. There are a number of people online that have decided that's their opinion. It's not isolated to them. Some of our very own content creators in board games here in Australia have made similar statements. And as I said, I'm not here to name names. But know that these comments were made in an open forum and by notable Australian content creators. And let me be clear. I do not pass judgment on your right to have an opinion. Okay, I am not a freedom of speech person. We don't have freedom of speech in Australia or Canada. We don't have the right to say whatever we want with impunity. You know, we have the right to say and have an opinion within reason, but I don't pass judgment on your right to have an opinion. You absolutely have a right to have an opinion. And this is one of the reasons the Fox and I are raising weapons, where we're raising young girls who are able to go out and discern good and identify value in the world around them. But opinions have consequences. So you can say whatever you like within reason. You know, if you want to get into hate speech or whatever, like I'm happy to stand here and go, okay, you have a right to that opinion, but they have consequences. If you say something divisive, and let me be clear, I don't think any of these individuals are saying these to be divisive. I'm reading this as this is actually their genuine opinion on the matters. And I'm not going to talk about the specific opinions, because this is not a clickbaity. I'm not here to rehash what's happened. Opinions have consequences. And look, I will say one such opinion, right? This is following the first murder of an American citizen. Not the first. I've gone down the rabbit hole. There have been 7 murders by ICE, by the way, in the US. But this is the first one that hit the news. This was the 37-year-old mother who was executed in her car. And here in Australia, there's an individual in the board gaming industry who decided to issue his final statement on a debate online of, I think ICE is great. Now, okay, I respect your right to an opinion. I absolutely do. You know, and if that's how you feel, it's not okay with me, but at the same time, it's not my place in the world to hold you accountable publicly. I'll step sideways for half a minute and talk about something else in my world that I don't talk about a lot, but I think if you've listened to me religiously, you know, or if you've listened to a lot of the back catalog, you know. My eldest daughter is part of the LGBTQ community and very proud and very brave, and she is a weapon. She is 19. She is weaponized and out in the world. She is successful. She has finished her college qualifications, is working in her career, and she is kicking goals and just racing down the street of life, and we are so proud of her. I think she was about 14 when she came out, maybe 15, 14 when she came out. It was a very hard thing to do. And I, of course, had to make some announcements. And you might say, well, why are you announcing that your daughter is LGBTQ? Well, it's because my eldest daughter is transgender, okay? And this is not something that's like, well, your sexuality, if you're gay or you're lesbian or you're bisexual, you're pansexual, whatever it is, that's your business. That's only between you and the people you love. But when you are going to be transitioning from one gender to the next, that's not something you can just say, well, we're just going to let the world take its toll. So on my socials and with my dear friends and family, I reintroduced my daughter, and I made it very clear that if anyone had an issue with this, please let me know, because you will be immediately excised from my life, because I have no room in my world for hatred. I have no room in my world for acceptance and tolerance. This world is not about acceptance and tolerance. This world is about love and our fellow man, and nothing is more pertinent right now in 2026 than this. And I have to say that there was nobody in my world that had an issue, because I surround myself with people who are like-minded. But when you say to me, I think ICE is great, I'm done. I am done. I am like 100% done, right? So there's a couple of content creators out there that have made comments that would be called divisive, and I don't believe they made these comments to be divisive. But I am done consuming the content, okay? Your opinions are powerful, and I will fight for your right to have an opinion. My girls are being raised as weapons. They have their own opinions. It's my job to help them form theirs while empowering them to come to their own conclusions. And that's the world we live in. If one of my daughters decided that they thought ICE was great, well, they're my daughter. I can't be done with them. I'd have to hope that my opinion and being raised in a home where we are not accepting, we are not tolerant, where we just think humans are humans, that they would come to the other side. And make no mistake, I will die on the hill that allows individuals to have an opinion and to express that in a healthy manner. But I'm going to circle back to opinions have consequences. I will also die on the hill that stands for fair and moral treatment of my fellow humans. I'm going to very much struggle to engage with any content creators who have expressed opinions in support of the horror and the terror and the tearing down of humanity that is happening around the world. And I'm not just talking about the United States. My heart goes out to you guys, you know. And that's not to close myself off to quality content, but like J.K. Rowling and Harry Potter, I find myself unable to dissociate the art from the artist. I find it very hard to celebrate Harry Potter, given that I have a transgender daughter and that J.K. Rowling has been so vocal in using her money and her quote-unquote influence to make their lives harder. Why would you go out of your way to make a human being's life harder because you don't agree with them? And I will defend J.K. Rowling's right to have an opinion, right? She has an opinion. That's great. It's unfortunate she has as much reach and influence as she does that opinion is heard by so many people. What gives me hope in the world today is that there are so many people standing up against that opinion. And much the same way, let me be honest, I'm not trying to be flippant here. I wouldn't attend an art exhibition of Hitler's work. He was apparently a voracious painter. I'm going to struggle to engage with the output of groups that express an opinion that say it's okay to murder someone just because they had their own opinion. OMC and everyone that is One Man Clapping adjacent, I know I speak for everyone, all my colleagues, everyone in my wider group, the guests we've had on the show, we stand with the downtrodden. to those of you listening from Minnesota, and yes, OMC, I had a look this week. We have listeners in Minnesota. I stand with the families that are being oppressed. To those of you listening from Ukraine, we have listeners in Ukraine. I don't know whether they're Russian or Ukrainian listeners, but I can do nothing for you except let you know that I hear you. I have a very small reach. Very, you know, OMC is a small channel. But know this, I stand for your right to be heard. And if, like one of my Australian colleagues, you have an opinion that, quote-unquote, ICE is great, I believe in your right to have that opinion. I do, however, reserve the right to excise you from my life, from the lives of those around me, from the growing minds that I'm nurturing into the world. I'm forging 3 weapons to unleash on the world, weapons for good, and they will know you for what you are. Opinions have power. The power to build, the power to destroy, the power to give life to new ideas, and the power to bring ideas to life. I have the power to end ideas as well. And I'm 52 years old this year. I will miss the content of those creators and individuals that have spoken. I will miss it. They have brought me a great deal of joy over the years. But if I choose to do nothing, if I choose to accept, and if I choose to just keep going, then I have also passively chosen to say, hey, ICE is great. I apologize, dear listeners, for the seriousness of voices in my head this week. I've said many times that this broadcast is my own therapy session. Thank you if you're still listening at this point. And I also often sit here and tell you that I am effusively positive. I am an effusively positive and optimistic person. I am. Tomorrow brings choices, just like today. Thank you for choosing to listen to OMC. I choose tomorrow. I choose a better tomorrow. And I just hope as a human race, we get through this, as, you know, better for it. Those of you that are going through shit, I hear you. I see you. We hear you. We see you. This week's clap goes to everyone standing up, guys. Everyone being told they can't. I'm 20,000 kilometers from all the terror, all the horror, and all the nonsense. And I'm afraid. I can't imagine what it's like to be right in the middle of it. This is for you. Thank you for being the voice of reason. Thank you for standing for those of us that can't be there. Next week, peeps, I promise it's a return to form with more games, more positivity, more joy, more happy stories, and I, for one, am grateful. I, as a good, what I like to think, good human being, with even the little reach that I have, I couldn't go past this today, unfortunately. I'm grateful. Grateful for my games, grateful for my friends, grateful for my family, grateful for my health, grateful for the sanity that surrounds me in this beautiful country of Australia, and I'm grateful for everyone in the world that is standing up right now to say no. You can reach me on all the socials, find me on Facebook by searching One Man Clapping. You can join the One Man Clapping Guild on BGG, subscribe to Guild 4426. You can help OMC by dropping me a like on Facebook or Instagram, by leaving a review on whatever platform you choose. If it's a bad review, it's okay. I'll survive. I will stand for your right to think I'm shit. That's perfectly fine with me. Thank you as always for your time. Your time is precious, and the fact that you chose to waste an hour of it listening to how I spend my time is always humbling. Until next time, get your game on, even if you've got to play with yourself, because sometimes that's the only way you're going to get a game in anyway. This week's episode has been brought to you by freshly ground coffee. Fuckloads of it. Peace out, mofos. Locked in the